The following podcast is part of a special oral history program titled The RSL, A Time to Celebrate. The program documents fascinating and personal stories and experiences of veterans across South Australia. The program received funding through the Veteran and Community Grants stream in partnership with the Tanunda RSL sub-branch and the Emu Tree, and was produced by Christian Teusner. I encourage listeners to take their time to explore as many of these stories and adventures as possible. For further information, visit www.theemutree.com. Today is the 3rd of July, yeah. 2020. I'm sitting here in the home of Mick and Jennifer.
Yes. Lennon.
Thank you very much, Mick, for agreeing to be a part of this program, the RSL Time to Celebrate. Thank you, sir. Could you just state your full name, please?
Brian John Lennon.
Tell me your date of birth, please.
Born on the 22nd of April, 1934.
Can you tell me your national service number, please?
Written it down there for
you. Yeah, 4702369.
That's it.
Mick, can I just ask you firstly, please, just to tell me, whereabouts did you grow up? Whereabouts were you born?
I was born, good question, I just happened. I was born in Gawler itself. I was born in 1934. I was born at midwife Gawler.
How many brothers and sisters did you grow up with?
Right, I grew up with, good question, two brothers, Peter and Michael. I grew up with three sisters, Shirley, Joan, and Margaret. There were six of us.
What were your parents' names?
Margaret and Michael.
Do you have any early childhood memories?
Oh, yeah. I was born, as I said before, I was born in Gawler. Went to Salisbury Primary School, I went to school, I went to St. Augustine's, attended the Catholic school at Maris Brothers at Beverton.
When you were at Maris Brothers,
yeah.
What kind of ambitions and career paths did you think you were going to pursue?
My ambitions and my aim was wholly and solely, I thought I'd turn up a Catholic boy. I'd go to Catholic school, I'd be a Catholic boy. When I left school, I thought I would turn into a Catholic brother, I was an older boy. Parents were very strict Catholics. I did all the right things. When I joined the service in Gawler, I drove for a living. I drove a bus. I drove a St. Augustine's bus. I drove a high school. I drove the local bus, local bus. I drove a high school bus. I drove a service bus for Salisbury. When I was in service at the Army, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I did Maralinga.
On the 22nd of April, 1952, was when you joined up?
I got called up for National Service. I didn't have any choice. No choice whatsoever.
How did you feel when you were told about the conscription?
And that's a good question.
How did you feel? Do you remember how you felt?
Yes, I do. I felt important. I was over the moon about joining the forces. I went into national service as part of national servicemen. In Maryland, Woodside. I served in Woodside. Woodside is where I grew up. I grew up in Woodside. When I went in the Woodside, I went in as a national serviceman, and I did training there. Very strict training you'd done. Gee whiz, it was a life in itself. I enjoyed that Woodside. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I did as I was told.
What age were you at this point?
I was 18 when I went up there. And when I served in Woodside, I was 18. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was under the hammer. I did as I was told, and what I was told. My first camp, I'll never forget as long as I lived, was served. My very first camp was Woodside. Second camp, I did up there, I did at, Paul Wakefield, I went Paul Wakefield Holding Soldiers training. Maralinga was the highlight of my life.
Can you share a little bit of information about that period of your life?
Right, Maralinga, I served at Maralinga, I served as a national serviceman. I went up there. I liked Maralinga because I was up there as a training. I went up there and my term I enjoyed more than anything was at Maralinga. Now when I got to Maralinga, I went up there under Colonel Durance. And also, I don't know if you remember a bloke called Lenny Bedell. I served under Lenny. That was an education, Maralinga.
So what were your duties and responsibilities while you were stationed at Maralinga?
I went up there as a fireman. Strictly fireman, and I served under the fire brigade.
I have listed here that you were in Maralinga from the 2nd of the 2nd 53 to the 11th.
I served. 57. I was up there for all the 18, all the atomic tests. All the atomic tests.
And how did that feel being a part of that history?
Very strange. Completely different story altogether. Maralinga was very, very experimental. I enjoyed Maralinga. Maralinga, I was out on the range, at the rifle range at Maralinga. While I was at Maralinga, and it was a challenge. I spent time on site, and by that I meant I was out at the range. I served under the English Iraqi at the range. Yeah, Maralinga was out in the middle of nowhere. The range was a free range. I served in the township itself under the Maralinga umbrella. I was stationed, I went to a town called Watson. That was a railway siding. I served at three railway sidings when I was at Maralinga, and those sites, I mean, on site as sites. I attended the firing of Maralinga. I can start talking lots of stories here. But at Watson itself, it was out in the middle of nowhere. It was the middle of, who knew what, it was out in the middle of nowhere. And I meant nowhere. I did as I was told, when I was told, and how I was told. Now, for the atomic sites, I attended the village. I served under the English-Canadian soldiers. They come under, strictly under their regime.
You've witnessed five of the tests at Maralinga. Could you talk me through one of those tests?
Yes. Well, it's a feeling all of its own. And I mean all of its own. And now in the test itself, tummy test consists of out on a range, and I mean out middle of nowhere. I'm talking throughout the middle of Australia. Maralinga was a town out in the middle of nowhere, absolutely nowhere. There's a little place out of Maralinga called Aldea, and that was a train siding.
Did you get any time to return back to the city during this time?
In their ways of living. Never left there. I did one trip. We left Maralinga. We travelled out of town, out of Watson itself. Travelled out of Watson. We went to Aldea. But Watson was out middle of nowhere. It was, and I met middle of nowhere. Railway sidings, sitting on the side of the railway crossing, very strict. I worked, as I was in the fire station, I served in the station itself.
And what was your position in the station?
Fire officer. I served under the, very involved with the sides and stuff there. And by that I meant they were experimental. It come under very strict rules and regulations, and we done a lot of experimental, and by that I mean we fired the atomic bomb. Oh hell, I would have to say that it was an experiment in itself. I probably relate to one instance where I was sitting in the vehicle in the tank, and I heard this. It was a little dingo. I wonder what the bloody hell was going on. And it was a little dingo. And they had a lot of dingoes up there, I thought. I enjoyed Wakefield. That was a challenge. That was a range, a rifle range out in the middle of nowhere.
What would be some of the things that your daily life would involve?
Right, I'd get up in the morning, I'd report to the colonel. He would then give me marching orders or duties for the day. Well, Maralinga was wholly and solely secret. You couldn't, everything was secret.
Did you miss the city life?
Yes, very much, very, very much.
How much contact did you have outside of Maralinga while you were there?
Very little. Very, very little. Maralinga, you've got to understand, was out nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. You grew up at the
Maralinga.
Yeah, you grew up. You become, you went from a boy to a man. And I wouldn't have any other way. It's part of your life that you never forget.
Can I ask you, Mick, can you share a little bit of information about how and where you met Jennifer?
Brian Doak.
60, you were married in 66?
66.
Yeah.
Me, I'm in 58. No, 64.
Right.
Whereabouts
I'll
did you
I'll tell you what happened. We'll start from the very beginning.
Go for it.
Right. There's a hotel on in Adelaide called Seton. The Seton Hotel. My mates would want to get rid of me. So they teed up for me to meet Jennifer on a blind date. And when I say blind, we'll have to return that. I played around a bit, I did a bit growing up. Never know what's my point. And but the silly part about it was, I said to my wife one day, I forgot to ask you to marry me.
You gave me the engagement ring,
yeah,
outside the Crapers School.
She asked me, but I'm married. I said, oh yeah, I said, I'm married. She said, yes, she'd marry me.
That was 6 months after we met.
Okay, so you had the blind date.
I wouldn't sort of my married life in the world. How she's put up with me, I've got no idea.
Then again, when he asked me, he asked for the phone number because he did it, because it was a Hills phone number, wasn't it? And he thought, oh, she's going to be a bummer. And it wasn't.
And what was he the romantic?
Yeah. Oh, we loved dancing. That's what hit it off.
Right. Dancing shoes. So you're off to the dances regularly?
I love dancing.
We used to, but because we both can't now. Mm-hmm.
But I love dancing. I used to love going to dances.
When he was president at the RSL, we used to have dance every Sunday night.
I served president of the RSL on 5 occasions.
Well, I think about 10. You did about 10 years on and off.
Chairman of Lions, Neighbour Watch 28 years. I have been president, vice president. I have been schools, aged care centres. I go to a lot of old homes for the elderly. But my role has been very involved as public relations officer for Sylvia RSL. By that, I have played many roles. I have, there's not many homes I haven't been to. In fact, I'd say every home in Sylvia I've been to, every high school. I've done many projects with schools. Many. Many, many projects.
So it's fair to say you're very well known around these parts.
I would say that there wouldn't be many people don't know me. I was founder and life member of Northern Volunteering. I feel I've achieved quite a bit in my life, in many ways.
What would you consider to be some wise words or some really good advice for people in today's society?
Well, first of all, I say to people, there's nothing better in this world, and there's nothing more important in this world than a friend. To make friends is, I think, one of the greatest things in the world. To do good for is, I think, a marvellous thing. If you can be a friend, you've achieved something in your lifetime. In other words, I think a mate is worth everything. There's nobody like a mate. A friend and a mate is something that, but I think it's one of the most important things of your life, is a friend. You make a friend, a friend is somebody that you respect all your life. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I think if you can make a friend, you've achieved something in your life.
Mick Lennon, thank you very much for talking with me and sharing some stories today. And Jennifer as well, thank you very much for allowing me into your home. And it's been an absolute privilege to meet you both. Thank you so much for your time and your stories.
It's nice to be able to talk to somebody who cares. Somebody that thinks about somebody else. There's not a lot of that.
You have been listening to The RSL, A Time to Celebrate, 2020.